Looking to catch up on Nigerian news you may have missed during the week? Or you need a refresher? Join the team of Weekend Nigeria, Top Star and AYEMI Olivia on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Saturday as we deliver news, reviews, interviews, tidbits, music and so much more. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians and diaspora up to speed. Weekend Nigeria and Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians and diaspora up to speed. Honestly, the things that happen behind the scenes. One day, we're going to do live so that people can see it, that sometimes it's not smooth. We just package it very nicely. So it's 1 o'clock in Lagos, Nigeria. And as promised, we're going to be speaking with Miss Olusola Sowemimo. She's a foremost Nigerian organic farmer. In fact, I have personal experience, but let me read her bio first. Miss Olusola Sowemimo, a lawyer, certified HR consultant, certified etiquette coach, and a faculty member of the School of Eloquence, took early retirement 7 years ago to pursue her many passions, one of which is Okwe Farms, which has become a foremost organic farm in Nigeria. Okwe Farm started business in earnest in 2016 after 2 years of searching for knowledge of organic agriculture, which was near impossible in Nigeria. She had to travel to other countries, including Songhai Farms in Porto Novo, which practices sustainable agriculture, and had to attend organic agriculture conferences and talks to be able to start her farm. Even though it was tough at the beginning, she held on to the idea of the need to produce safe and healthy foods, and this is why Okwe Farms always ensures that the quality of their vegetables, fruits, livestock and honey meet the satisfaction of their customers before profit. They also believe in making their farm a beautiful, healthy, diverse environment for all to enjoy. Their land is farmed without the use of chemicals and synthetic fertilizer. Okwe Farms has been featured on BBC Inside Africa and France 24 as an organic farm in Nigeria. Okwe Farms is committed to the environmental sustainability and natural biodiversity of the land. They produce their poultry naturally with zero synthetic drugs and antibiotics. Okwe Farms now owns its own organic store at Adebola Shopping Mall at Ikeja GRA, and its products are also stocked by two other supermarkets. They also supply juice bars and catering outfits. Mrs. Sowemimo has been a regular speaker on different aspects of organic agriculture at many events, including the West African Organic Conference, African Organic Conference, and would be speaking in France at the World Organic Conference, which has now been postponed to 2021 due to COVID-19 pandemic. She continues to advocate for organic agriculture both within and outside Nigeria. She has trained over 300 urban growers and continues to train urban growers and coaches many startup organics in Nigeria in agriculture. Mrs. Sowemimo is an alumni of the Lagos Business School after completing the Agribusiness Management Program. She is the vice president of her LBS alumni set. She holds a certificate in post-harvest loss management, and she is a fellow of the Institute of Agribusiness Management of Nigeria. She has many awards, the latest being Organic Advocate and Processor in November 2019 from the Ecological Organic Agriculture Initiative. She is a member of many groups and associations, including NEW, AWEP Wimbies, Nasima Export Group, No One and others. A mother and wife, she continues to support organic. A mother and wife, she strongly continues to support organic agriculture. Sisimi, as I call her, I fondly call her Sisimi. Welcome to Weekend Nigeria on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's good to know.
I had a session for 2 hours just before this time, so I'm fine.
I hope you have your ginger juice with you or some water to refresh you as we are.
Yes, I do.
I trust. Okay, so let's start this. Why organic farming? What made you go into early retirement and seek to pursue this organic farming, especially as there wasn't any kind of structure or any there wasn't anybody who was doing this before you on the skill in which you wanted to do this.
Yes. I had grown up in a home where my two parents were quite, they were very particular about the kind of food we ate. And some of our cousins then used to look down on us, wondering if it was poverty or something that made my parents insist on raw meals twice a week.
Hmm.
In fact, at that time, my cousins would never come to our house on a Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday and I don't know if it was Tuesday and Wednesday, 2 days of the week. They would say, no. They're not ready to go there to go and eat grass, you know. But my dad had had an experience years before then where he had changed his lifestyle and his diet, and he was so happy with the way he now felt. And honestly, for us, the children, and my mom at the time, we used to wonder if that drastic change prolonged his life, because he ended up passing away at 54.
Hmm.
And he made that change when he was probably in his early 30s.
Oh, wow.
You know, so breakfast would be grapefruit with something. I mean, you just look at breakfast and you're wondering, for real?
Hmm.
But because it's our home, and that was how we grew up, then my mom had trees all over the compound. Mm. We used to have nothing less than 20 pawpaw trees around the house.
Oh, wow.
And we grew quite a number of vegetables, like ewedu, shokol, you know, those common ones.
Mm-hmm.
They were always from the back of the house, you know. She even attempted some chickens at the time, and my dad said, because it was the staff quarters of the CBN. I said, no. I don't want somebody making me their kids at work. My dad's dad was also a farmer.
Ooh.
And unlike those days when they used to say farmers were poor, the man used to ride a very, in fact, his bicycle, you have to look twice at his bicycle. It was the best around then.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a story building. So,
wow.
I mean, to me, it didn't appear like what was for the poor.
Mm.
But what resonated with me was always the freshness of the food we ate.
Mm.
You know, I go to other people's homes and I eat and I'm wondering, what's this?
Mm.
Because in our house, you just go to the back of the house and pluck some things and all. There was always something from the back garden in our food.
Mm.
And I really valued that while I was growing up. So I had always wanted to be in the food business, but I knew that the only way that I could be in the food business would be if the food was safe and healthy.
Mm.
And I would only be able to know if the food is safe and healthy if I am the one who produces it.
Mm.
Because I may not ever be able to guarantee where or what had happened to the things people were bringing. So when my mom passed away at 72, this woman used to count the strands of white hair on her head. And
my dad,
when he was alive, used to tease her. That was it, the pawpaw skin? Because my mom would eat pawpaw, as in skin, flesh, seed, everything together.
Oh.
You cut a pawpaw, you only wash it, you only wash her pawpaw, and then you cut it up and you serve her. And she eats everything. I'm telling you, when you come back for the plate, they're coming back for a plate.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I just thought there must be something in all of this. So at 72, she was stage 4 cancer, and that was a very rude shock to all of us because it was a woman who was very careful. And then I would never forget the particular doctor who said, hey, what are you talking about? People rarely develop cancer at 72. Your mom is likely to have lived with this cancer for so long, but because she had a very good healthy lifestyle, was why the rearing its head at this point.
Wow.
So after her passing away, I was just looking for, you know how you just want a bit of gap and space? And I was away in America on vacation when I got this unsolicited email saying there was a cancer conference. I'm sure because I subscribe to all manner of healthy things was why I got that. They said there was a health cancer conference taking place in California. At that time, the flight between New York and California seemed like all the money that I brought to the country. I said, you know what? I'll forgo buying any other thing and attend this conference. So I got there, and the first day of the conference, even though the hotel was going to had said they were going to serve certified organic food, do you know that all my so-called, the people I acquainted with, about five of them, you know, brought their own food with them.
Oh.
So when we sat at table, I brought my food, and they were all bringing out their food. In fact, I didn't realize that the bags they were carrying were cold bags. Most of them had two bags. Well, you know how it is when you're at the conference, you bring a second bag for all the knickknacks and odds and ends. So we sat down to eat, and they all brought back, they brought out all these fancy bags, and they were bringing out their food. And there I was just, you know, sticking into everybody's plate. And I had to ask, what's happening here? They still have food. Oh, they said, first of all, they don't eat anything they cannot trace back to where it came from.
Wow.
So they would rather eat from home because they know where they have bought the produce from. Or they go to Whole Foods, which, yes, it is expensive, but they know that they go the extra mile to give them good food. So when I started interviewing them, I realized that all five of them were cancer survivors.
Wow.
And at that particular conference, about 90% of the participants were also cancer survivors.
Oh, wow.
So we who had not had cancer were actually the ones in the minority. And I remember the first night, I couldn't sleep because it just kept bothering me that this is the same cancer that people die of every day in Nigeria. If it's not every hour. And then I see all these, you need to see them, long, lovely hair, well-dressed, everybody looking. You know, there was nothing on any of them that could say they were either sick or had been sick, you know. So I said, good. So the next day, the next lunch, I now asked them more private questions. I asked them if they didn't mind that I had just lost my mom. Oh, the minute they even heard that, they were quite happy to share. And in fact, one of them told us how her first cancer came at under 40, so like 37 when it came, and she battled it really, really hard. Then she got better, and after about 2 years, she just used to eye some of those naughty things that she used to eat. And so I started herself, it couldn't be that bad. After all, she's still young. She got past it before. She said when it came back, the big thing, she said, came back with a vengeance.
Wow.
And she had to now work doubly hard. Then at the end of the conference, we had a trip to Mexico because the cancer hospital could not set up in California. So they went to set up in Mexico, where they were allowed. And the first place where we had lunch, everybody asked for a second helping, including you truly. Later on, we heard that everything we had eaten was raw. No part of it was cooked. The food was delicious. The chef is a cancer survivor. The chef of that particular cancer hospital. So he cooks the food from the heart. He wants you to enjoy food despite the fact that you have survived cancer. You know, it's like somebody giving you salad every day. You don't get tired now. One day you look and say, am I cursed? Why can't I have something more interesting? You know that word. So that meeting people in the hospitals, speaking with them, all of that also just gave me that light bulb moment. And I said, no going back. If I get to Nigeria, I would only provide food that is healthy and will nourish the body. And it will be from mineral-rich soil, not soil that has been ravaged by any synthetic or artificial input. That's the story.
Wow. Wow. Talk about a truly light bulb moment. It's electrifying itself, as in body shock. Your whole mind would have just gone into, first it will stop to working, then it will start working overboard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was what propelled you into starting your own organic farm.
Yes, that was it.
How has the, and even I know this, but how has the journey been? Because, I mean, looking at your website, I know that you were one of the very first organic farmers that I found. And you have stayed true to form. When people ask me, oh, where do you buy your vegetables? And I'm like, oh, Akwae Farms. And they're like, ah, how do you know? I say, ah, there's no question I've asked her under the sun that she has not answered me. I say, she has never said, let me think about it or let me come back to you on. I say, it has never, and they're like, and you trust her? I said, she eats from it. If she's not eating from it, then there's something like, well, you know, some people say, so how has it been trying to, or establishing the farm from the point when you started up to now?
You know, when I came back from the trip, when I came back from the trip, I started asking questions, and there were people who would just look at me with, you know, that look of disgust. Which one is your own? Are you going to save the world? You better go and do a Greek and make money. This one is like, this one is organic. Is it that one that they fight? In fact, some will tell you, ah, please, the food always looks very ugly.
Ha.
I don't know who will buy it. You know, they gave me all the reasons why I should. And unfortunately, I can't say, people will say, oh, Torians are stubborn. Mine was not stubbornness, it was determination. I just felt, you know what, I could not have met, at that conference where we were about 1,800 or so. And then they tell me that 90% of them were cancer survivors. And then I come back to Nigeria and I lose that dream. Because I want to be rich, no, I wasn't going to go back that way. So I kept my cool. Then somebody who had been in agriculture for like 30 years, you know, said, you know what? I'm thinking, why don't you go to Fungi Farm? Fungi Farm is not known to be a certified organic farm, but they're doing something that might resonate with you. Every waste on that farm goes back to stock. So I thought, okay, that could be a start. So I went there and it was nice to see, you know, and learn some of the things they do. Then I was just glancing through Sunday papers. I love personal interviews. I love interviews of people. No matter who, I would read their story because something somewhere would just strike me. I'm like, oh, wow, that's good. And then on this particular Sunday was a professor, a scientist, and a professor, former professor of the University of Ilefe, and he was talking about organic. In fact, he was like, was I reading Rio? The man was saying it was possible in Nigeria. We only need to do this. We only need to do that. I said, no, this is beyond newspaper reading. I Googled his name because, you know, most newspapers don't give you details. So I Googled his name and I found his name and found his phone number, or at least found a phone number for the business. So I called, and as soon as I called, my intuition said, that's the man you're looking for.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, he was very reserved. You know, I've heard all of us pick up calls. They're telling you these scams that are on now. You pick up a call and he's like, you have to tell me, I'm going to call you from this number. You know, that kind of thing. So when we started talking, and by the time I said one or two things, I disarmed him and he was more relaxed. He was so happy. And he kept on saying, oh, I'm a very busy person. I'm invited all over the world to speak. And honestly, I'm going to be out of Nigeria from today. He just kept on talking about all the things. Then I said, sir, today is Sunday. And from all your schedules, they are available tomorrow. He said, do you know where I am? He said, do you know where I am? I said, yes, sir. The website says somewhere in Osun State. He said, you're going to leave Lagos and come and meet me in Osun State all tomorrow? I said, yes. By the time I was telling him all this, I hadn't even briefed this to my husband that I was up to something. So he now gave me his address and all of that, and how I could get to his place. It wasn't the time of Google Maps, so I now had to convince my husband as to why I had to go. He said, well, if you have to go all the way to Fungi Farm, how much more?
Ocean Station.
But I wanted to make it in one day. And luckily enough, that time, the expressway was not as bad as it is now. So when we got to Cross Place, I was humbled. This man's house is on top of a swamp.
Oh, wow.
Yes, all under his home is a fish pond.
Oh, wow.
While we were waiting for him to, you pay to enter, and that was fine by me. I mean, he paid his dues. So we paid. In fact, my driver was saying, ma'am, maybe I should sit in the car. I said, I know you. Your body cannot sit in the car. Let's go together. So I paid for the three of us to enter, and we were asked to sit down somewhere. While we were waiting for him, one of the fishes jumped out of the pond to go back into the pond. And the two guys beside me just ran away. I'm telling you, you will have thought it was a human being that came out of that pond.
It was that big?
It was that big. Even I kind of, you know, shifted to the side. And while all of this was happening, I think Prof had been kicking to see us, and he now stepped down and came and was just laughing. He said, don't worry, I get that all the time. But do you know the species are fed on just natural? They're not fed on any seed and all of that.
Wow.
And when he sat down, I said, "Prof, why are you living on top of his farm?" He said, "Because nobody else will buy the land."
Oh, wow.
No, I said, "Tell me why, what is all of this?" Now, where you call his farm, I tell him it's not his farm, it's a forest, is untouched. So Prof only plants where there is space.
Space. Oh, wow.
He does not cut down his trees. I mean, it's just a marvel. And I could understand why he charges money for people to enter, you know? So he told me the story of how that land was not, nobody wanted to buy it because it was farm. In fact, the only person who bought it went to ask back for his money. So when he heard the story, he ran to the owner and said he wanted to pay for it.
Wow.
And the man was looking at him like, "Are you real? Do you know that this is a farm?" He said, "Yes." So he built this beautiful, massive house on top of that farm. And he told me one thing. He said, "Your determination is going to take you far. Don't let people deter you. You're going to get a lot of bashing along the way. But guess what? It might not even be in your generation. It might not be in your time on earth. But that farm will outlive you. Because Nigerians are going to get to a point where they're going to be more serious about what they put in their body."
Yes.
And that's where we are right now.
That's true.
Even the water on his farm, he filters with moringa tea. He has his own filtration, you know. Almost everything about him is natural. I mean, if Prof was somewhere else, people would be paying. His home would be Mecca of some sort. You know, people will be paid. You would want to know it. It will be some tourist attraction, rather, not Mecca.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That
is what I was going to say, that must have truly, really encouraged you to just, like, what, I'm jumping in with everything that I have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Definitely. Okay, so I was going to speak to, so for me, what a lot of people used to say, that there was no variety when I started eating organic, that, you know, you get the same thing over and over for a period of time. And I said to them that I remember growing up, and I used corn as an example. I said corn wasn't available all year round. I can't ever remember it being available all year round. I said, so everything has a season. So why would I expect, unless, of course, it's been preserved with something, why will I expect to buy something that does not grow in June or is not harvested in June to be around in June? You know, so how have you been able to educate people with regards to that, especially with the natural food cycle in terms of planting and harvesting?
Yeah, definitely. Something that's seasonal. There is nothing you can do about it. Agbalumo will come out in the month of January to probably March. You know, mango will come out. I mean, some things are just like that. But there are special circumstances. I remember somebody telling me that, I don't remember what part of Benue he comes from, but he said his dad, that their orchard, the oranges are there all the time. And I was shocked. And that's why sometimes in the market, you find some things that are ordinarily out of season still out. Because there are some exceptions. But more than ever before now, there are things that if you have the proper irrigation, then you can do them all year round.
Oh.
Yes. So you can grow your corn, whether the regular corn or the sweet corn. It's just that by the time you're irrigating, spending money on the keys and things like that, it makes those things a bit more expensive because it's now not just the rainwater. It is now you probably using electricity or solar or whatever to drive the water supply. So it is possible to get some things out of season now. They might not be at their peak in terms of taste.
Yes.
Because they might come at a time when there is rainfall. And I always tell people one thing. There's something about rainfall. It's electrolyte. It is special. I visited one of the largest tomato farms in the UK. And they have an underground tank where they store all the rain on their farm. And they use it for at least 365 days.
Wow.
They now know the quantity of water I mean, and this is where smart farming comes in. They know the quantity of water they use in a year. So if they need, let's say, 300 million something, something, I'm just using it as an example, and they know that the rainwater is going to be 22, then they can augment. But what they are getting, because they say they would like to be as near organic as possible, I mean, they are in the UK. If they're not, people will shut down their product. And I think they supply about 80 to 90% of all the tomatoes in the UK.
Oh, wow.
But the different shops just give them different names. But most of it is from them. So they have minimized, they even have a whole university working with them. And have their desk there. Yeah, they have their desk. And, you know, these are all the gaps that we still have in Nigeria. You can imagine a university residing on my farm who would have taken organic for that.
Honestly, because there are things
I experience all the time, and I'm just with myself. The other day, somebody on Instagram, I've forgotten his name, is it Chidi, something wildlife, and he was just saying, Cecily, there are things you put on your page that my students would never see, and we teach them in school. You know, and that's the way organic is to me, you know. There are things that I see, the things that I experience that make it so inherent for me that I can't just wake up and say I want to make money, and so I start doing tons of something and pouring chemicals on them. You know, it's not possible. It's not me. And it does not resonate with my mission statement or my vision. Just a few weeks ago, I realized that I had linked to the mission statement of Perfect Farms for the last 5 years. Because that mission statement says to grow and supply organically grown food from mineral-rich soils that truly nourish the body for healthy lifestyle. It was a wake-up call. I said, oh, wow. So if I can scale this 5 years, can you imagine with more knowledge, with more technology, with more, you know, capacity building? Now we go to other countries of the world and we look like we're ancient. Yeah, we're still talking of the kind of thing we're battling with here. Others have left it so many years ago. Yeah. So we can do more if there's that support and if policies help it.
I was going to ask, and I should have asked this at the beginning, could you define organic for us? Because I hear all sorts of things. Somebody had tried to sell me juice at a fair years ago, and he goes, oh, it's organic. So I said to him, really? I said, where do you get your fruits? And he said, mile 12. And I started laughing. And the guy was like, madam, what's so funny? I said, so because you get your fruits from the market, it's organic. He said, yes, ma. I said, and you're telling people that this thing is organic? He said, yes, ma. Ha. I was like, so please define organic for us. I know, it's funny. I was shocked.
No, you know, first of all, many people who even tell you organic do not really know what to say. Many people will tell you that something is organic because they have not used chemicals. That's even primary producers. But not even using chemicals is just the tip of the iceberg. Number one, what you can't even trace, you cannot name organic. It's not possible. I will tell people that for sure. If you don't know where it comes from, how can you wake up and call it organic? And currently, we are one of the countries that have actually bastardized that word.
Yes.
Yes, there are countries of the world where you dare not. I was speaking with a lady, she plants, 100% natural. She's waiting for her certification. And she said in Maryland, in America, that 47 people were jailed for using organic when their production was not organic.
They were jailed?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Or fined or whatever. But it's against the law. Even in the UK, you're not a member of... You don't have that certification because it's very expensive. Because I attend their organic conference when I'm around. And one of the things we realize is that some even have to form their own side groups. So there is nothing wrong with people coming up and saying, you know what, we are authentic. We know you do not use chemicals. We know we do, but we have not done our certification. And they get themselves together and say, oh, ethical farmers or 100% natural farmers or something like that. It would be more honorable, you know, than using that word. Now, I'm going to use the word of ICWAM. Now, ICWAM is actually the, ICWAM is the overall body for organic in the whole world. You know, so they are the ones that countries came together, you know, and said, you know what, after the Green Revolution, all these to feed the world kind of thing, it wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. So they came together and said, you know what, we would rather have something that we know that it is healthy. It might not be for everybody. It might not provide the very many tons and all that they want, but some of us just want to be healthy. So they came up with the principles and came up with their definition too. And honestly, the principles are actually the root of which organic agriculture grows and develops.
Okay.
You know, they express that contribution that organic agriculture can make to the world. So there's four principles. There's the principle of health, the health of the soil, the health of the plant, the health of the workers who are even planting the food, and the health of the consumers. So when people tell you organic, where are they coming from? There is principle of ecology. I mean, for ecology, it's like you need the space where that food is coming from to be a living ecological system, to have ecological systems and cycles. And then we are supposed to work with them and emulate them and help to sustain them. So, for instance, there are ants on my farm which, if they don't eat my vegetables and don't disturb me in any way, they don't do anything to them. People always, when I say, oh, farm, oh, snake. I don't know why everybody is always asking the security of snake. I said, you know that in five or how many years I've been going to that place, I've seen a snake once, and that was because they had killed it.
Oh, wow.
And I have to tell my workers, because right now, they really don't kill snakes, except if they feel that it's a snake that can attack. But wearing your boots is compulsory.
Yes.
You don't wear your boots and something goes wrong, when you get well, you're in deep trouble. You know?
So I like that. When the person gets well.
Yes. Because you're supposed to wear your boots. In fact, there are people who come, when we get some workers, you can tell that the first time they're wearing boots is when they get to
the farm. Yeah.
And for us, it's very, very compulsory. So for you to be an organic practitioner, I mean, the ecological system should be balanced, you know, and your farming system should be around those things, you know. So whether it is those people who are consuming it, you know, you protect the place, you know, for the common benefit of the environment. So, for instance, we are not allowed to burn. You cannot say, oh, this place is something, something. Just burn it. We don't do it. So what we have is, we have big, I don't know what name to call it, but we have these very huge, massive boxes in metal where we use for burning. Because we still use things like the leaves of the banana or plantain.
Yes.
We burn it because for us it is it potassium or phosphorus now?
Okay.
So we burn that. The leaves of the oil palm tree, we burn it to use. So we know that we're not supposed to use it directly on the floor of the farm.
Of the
so we
farm.
Use it in those we use it in those boxes and then apply it. Because sometimes that ash alone, if we spread it on top of our we dump lettuce, kale and those other leafy vegetables like that. We just put that dust on them. Guess what? No pest will go near them.
Oh, wow.
You will come back tomorrow and just find everything the way you left it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we still burn, but we do not burn in any way that upsets the planet, you know, as such. And then there's the spirit, there's the principle of fairness. And when you talk on fairness, organic agriculture is built on relationships. And those relationships ensure that fairness in regard to the common environment and the life opportunity. So when you're talking of fairness, it's characterized by equity, respect, justice, you know. So we keep asking ourselves, is it fair? So somebody plants tomatoes and tells others it is organic. Now imagine that one of those people who buy the tomatoes must not come in contact with those things that he has destroyed. And then that person falls sick, or that person's health spikes up, or the doctor suddenly says, what has happened? You were at this level last week, what has happened? Something's gone wrong. And the man will say, no, I'm eating organic. I mean, for heaven's sake, is it fair? It is not fair. I mean, and some of these things, people forget that there are repercussions. Whether they think they are tangible or intangible, they are repercussions. Because it's also lack of integrity.
True.
You know?
True.
And is it same fairness that doesn't allow us to cage our birds? We do not cage our birds. If anything, we allow them to roam around. Yes. And when the grounds are safe, I say when the grounds are safe because we've had situations where we turn them out to go and enjoy,
nature,
only for a snake or one or two snakes to eat about two of them.
Oh wow!
So we eat. Oh yeah. The snake eats them. So if there is nobody who can stay with them while they are roaming around, then we don't. Usually we try to, and then birds generally. They fly. Look at chickens. Chickens want to go around, peck this, peck that. It's from them that we got the pecking order. You want to say. So, would it be fair? We now put them all caged up because we humans want to eat eggs. You know? And people tell me, oh, you cannot be financially rewarding because if you're not doing 10,000 birds. In fact, when people like me tell people that I have a poultry, I know. Poultry farmers are usually very proud of what they do. So the first thing they ask was,
how many birds do you have?
And I said, oh, you better don't use the number of birds to judge my practice. And I don't answer your question. And then there's the principle of care. Care for the soil, care for the animals, care for the humans, care for, you know. So when people just say this organic, I'm just laughing. There was a day I got to the farm and one of the workers had cut himself through his boot. No, I wasn't on the farm, but I was told that he had cut himself through his boot. So we took him to the clinic and all of that. Then the second day, I ran down there just to go and check him up. Guess what? He was on the field. I was like, are you not the one that cut your leg? What are you doing here and all of that? And guess what he said? He said, where had you worked before? If you are not on the farm, then you don't get the money of that thing. So, and I told him, I said, I can understand where that person is coming from. Because in reality, they might have dealt with that kind of farm owner.
Yes.
You know, maybe people had lied in the past. They're well and okay, but just because, you know, they want to get away with something or they have their own plan, then they can tell you that lie.
Yeah.
So I now told him, I said, okay, thank goodness you are here with us. Here, it matters to us that you are fine. So please go back to your room, and when you are okay and that leg is fine, then you can come back. So, I mean, organic agriculture is humankind's most basic thing, so to say. You know, at the end of the day, we just want to produce food that will nourish people daily, you know, and even organic recognizes historical lessons or innovation. So if, for instance, one old papa in one of my communities shows me that, okay, I learned something recently while watching a film, and the guy realized that instead of having to really destroy ants on the farm, you know, if you carry the ants in one section, to go and meet the ants in another section, you know, there's going to be a warfare. They
really?
Will fight each other. Oh, my goodness. I'll send you the video. They will fight each other. And if you come back to that place in like 2 days' time, there will be no ants at all.
Oh, my word.
Yes. So organic will appreciate that. you know, anything that moves you forward. And guess what? Organic appreciates innovation too. Mm. The only thing is no GMO. Don't even go there, you know. So there is so much that one can appreciate when you talk of organic, because the soil matters, you know, the water, the plants, the animals, you know, how you prepare and distribute. Your soil must get organic matter. So if you put compost in your soil, for instance, you might not see immediate results because compost is slow release. But eventually, when it kicks in, it's going to be like as if you kick the lottery. And is that patience that people don't have?
Yeah, I was going to say that you know, like the Yoruba saying, Obetodu, Olopa,
and
minus the money, it's also patience. It's a methodology. Yeah. It's care. You want to cook soup that is good. You can't just go anyhow or just jumble things together. There's a process. There's a system for you to arrive at that, you know, the good that you want out of it. Wow.
Definitely there is. I like what you just said about the process. And that's the difference between when you're starting and you don't have knowledge and when you have paid your dues and you know what you're doing. There is a process. There's definitely a process to everything that we do.
Oh, wow. So Temitope wants me to ask you this question. What is your position on refrigerating food? So does it, I guess in her mind she's thinking, okay, so does this add or does this detract from if you're eating organic, for instance?
Not really, because the world we live in now, except if you have a back garden where every kind of food is, you will still need your refrigerator at some point in time or the other. And I'm not a scientist, neither am I, an engineer or something, but I believe that the coldness does not take away from the food. If your vegetables came conventionally, they will remain conventional because they were chilled.
Yes.
If they came organic, they will remain organic because they were chilled.
Okay.
I mean, we even dry. We dry some of our vegetables, and it doesn't take away from it.
That's a process. Okay, so I've also heard that for organic farming, you can't just do fruits and vegetables. You can't do plants alone. That for one to be truly organic, you must... So this, I guess this ties into the... I guess is sort of kind of to the ecology. You have to have a will, so to speak. So it must be plants and animals. And there are certain types of animals. Are all types of animals permissible, or are there certain types of animals that you must rear as well as your plants?
They don't even use the word must.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you're going to realize that if you practice integrated farming, it's going to work for you. Even there are conventional farmers who... either because of the tonnage of vegetables they produce, they have realized that it makes more sense to have their own poultry so that they can use the waste from their poultry. Once you start, even without having the word saying you must, you will see the sense with having it. So, for instance, we have our own poultry. Before we got our poultry, we had gone to pick up chicken waste from a conventional farm, and for you to use the waste from the poultry, the organic standard require that you should be cured for 3 months, minimum of 3 months.
Okay.
So this particular farm said, "Oh, that waste has been there for 5 months," and we could believe them because it looked really, really nice. It just looked like compost. It didn't even look like chicken waste or anything. So we carried it. We were going to pay and, you know, just carried it and went to use. Guess what?
You lost all some plants.
We lost it.
Wow.
And it was only when a test was carried out on the waste that we realized that some of the drugs that the birds were given was so powerful that it was still in that
in the waste, even 5 months later.
For 5 months. So I got a wake-up call and said, you know what? Even if it is 50 birds, maybe they will have to eat and put something out.
Exactly.
And we had built our first poultry house. We built it, and for 1 year, we didn't put anything inside. Because I couldn't justify that I'll be planting vegetables organically, and then I'll be feeding the poultry with some other thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not going to work.
Mm.
So when that particular incident happened, I started looking for knowledge. And at one of our, I think it was NUAM that organized a conference, we met some people from, I think, Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And they were very excitedly telling us how they raised their poultry without any... So I was like, hey, this is the kind of thing I've been looking for.
Mm.
So started talking and gisting with them, learning small by small.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent me a particular document by, they scanned it to my email, excitedly printed it out, and we started trying to follow it.
Mm.
So I was just at that level when I also stumbled on somebody on Naira Land, and I had been studying him, reading up and all of that. Then I realized that the guy absolutely knew what he was doing. And I contacted him. Turns out to be Mr. Saka Adesoji.
Mm.
And at that time, he got us our very first set of birds. And he said, just get ready for me, a little box and this. He just gave me instructions. And then he came. And then there I was looking at him. The Christmas melon, that one they call Tagiri, broke it up with water. And I was like, okay, this is real, Mamala. We'll see where this will lead us.
Wow.
But guess what? The bird, even the farm manager I had at the time, just looked at me with one corner eye like, this woman will never learn. She's come again. Today we lose this, tomorrow we lose that. Now she even wants to start losing chickens. So he told me that he was certain that those birds could not last till the next day. I said, okay, let's see. At least, thank goodness, is my money. I'll cry small and wipe my eyes in the corner. So, the next morning, he called me excitedly. He said he didn't sleep throughout the night. Kept on counting how many of the birds he will find dead. Guess what? They were all alive.
Oh, wow.
And that was how we raised that very first batch of birds successfully and started selling. So, it's a win-win. Because there you have your vegetables, you have poultry. But organic agriculture actually covers practically every aspect.
Mm.
It covers livestock.
Mm.
It covers aquaculture.
Mm.
It covers beekeeping.
Mm.
It covers, I'm trying to, yes, aquaponics, mushroom.
Mm.
It covers mushroom, even seeds and seedlings. You know, so it covers practically everything, animal husbandry. It even tells you the period for which you can convert. So let's say I take, maybe I go and buy some goats. I want to start raising goats, and I go and buy some goats. So it gives me the prescription that for me, when I'm converting to organic production, then the animals undergo a conversion period, you know, according to, if it's for meat, then maybe I think something like 12 months to 24 months.
Okay.
If it's for dairy, then 3 months to 24 months. Eggs, 45 days.
Oh, wow.
So, which means it takes 45 days. So, if I'm going to take layer birds from another farmer who had been practicing conventional, then I need to wait those birds for the first 45 days. I cannot call them natural or organic.
Organic.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Because it needs 45 days for them to be converted, you know. And then poultry, rabbits too. Rabbits also need 45 days to be converted. And if a farmer is practicing conventional agriculture and you decide you want to change to, I mean, you actually need 3 years for the conversion period.
So that's for the land?
To heal the soil.
Oh, wow.
Yes, to rebuild the soil. And that shows you the extent to the extent of the damage that can be done to the soil
from chemical impute,
those chemicals and the synthetic input.
3 years.
Oh yes, and in fact, you know, people don't, because many people don't want to do the research.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk, they say things like, "Oh, she wants to sell her market."
Oh.
I was at a conference in the UK. That conference took place in Oxford, and the professor that did the last major research work on organic agriculture, Professor, there's a lady who will remember him because she was actually at his university during that conference.
Mm.
And is he late?
I mean,
but
3 years.
But you know that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that 3 years is very small compared to what I learned from that organic conference.
Mm.
It was shown to us scientifically and all that even the foremost producers of the synthetic fertilizers, that they will need 22 years. That the factories where these things are produced need 22 years to rectify the situation on the land in which it's produced.
22 years.
22 years. So 3 years is actually nothing.
Wow. And it's amazing how people do not understand the impact that these chemicals or these processed foods or chemicals that are put into planting for growth and for making money, for lack of a better word, the impact that it makes on or it takes out on the human body. I mean, you started off with telling us about the cancer conference that you went to, where 90% of 1,800 people were cancer survivors, all from eating organic. I mean, if cancer, the big C, as you rightly called it in Nigeria, and we're still doing conventional treatments, what does it take for us to make the switch?
You know, it's actually going to be a personal decision.
Mm.
It can be very difficult to unlearn what you have already learned.
Mm.
And I think I really tend not to blame people for not being organic.
Mm.
Because, number one, the capacity building is not there.
Mm.
There are things I know today. It's because I've exerted myself to look for knowledge.
Mm.
In an ideal situation, if you wake up today and say, I want to go organic, there should be some place to go to. And by the time you've done maybe a 1 month intensive training or something, then you are raring to go. But these days, people have to find
their own trainer or whatever.
If half of the money that the Nigerian government pumps into conventional agriculture is pumped into organic, it would be amazing. I think it ties us even a table that we have in the Ministry of Agri, the federal ministry.
Mm.
I think it's just a table we have there.
Wow.
I am not sure there's any
the department.
I think it would be a dream come true if there is a department.
Wow.
Because when I sit down and try to collate all I have learned over a long period of time, I have spent a lot of money. I mean, there are things I don't even look at anymore because for me, they're now fancy.
Mm.
If I want to gain that knowledge and be able to do it right, I've got to spend money on that knowledge.
Mm.
All those conferences I go to, honestly, they are priceless to me because I'm seeing farmers from all over the world and I'm sitting down with them. The other day, when we went for the organic conference in India, I was there with Olaun Benedict, Olaun Saudikoya, and I think about three or four people from the university. And the three of us who were like, you know, farmer, it was a sacrifice to be there.
Mm.
It was a real big sacrifice. But guess what? Today at lunch, you sit with somebody and he's telling you, oh, so what do you do? And I do 1,000 hectares of onion, and you want to fall off your chair.
1,000 hectares of onions.
They're going to tell you that you can't even do 10 acres.
Wow.
But because they have advanced, a lot has been put into it. People understand where they're coming from. They know where they're going to. So doing it is not something that is them.
Mm.
I mean, the other day, a farmer was sending me a message, you know, where some of you are gardeners.
Oh.
You see? Even I run a garden, you know, that they are on 200 acres of things. So how can people like that practice organic? That is not possible.
Of course
that
is it
only is. For small farmers who plant in gardens.
Huh.
I said, okay, I take it as that. But you know what? I go to bed every night with my conscience very clear.
Wow.
We had a poultry farmer who cannot eat his own egg. He has to eat our own egg because he's diabetic.
But he's still producing these eggs and selling.
Well, I don't even go there. I don't really judge people. I don't go into their terrain, you know. But, this is a guy who suddenly now, he can't, well, I guess he will be thinking, how can he just
start all over again.
Start all over again. So I don't even go there. I don't really. I don't know what goes on in that particular world. But I do know that I had a natural farm at the farm last week. And he told us, he said, you know what? For those who are managing their cancer, that's what he does. He says, you can drink all the smoothies in the world. Eat all the vegetables in the world. If it is not organic, you're cheating. And I looked at him. I said, oh my goodness, I wish others could hear this. They just want to say, she wants to sell her market. He said, no, I cure people with this thing. This guy showed us the flower of the red choco. He said, cancer patients, just put it in water, boil it, and drink. It's healthy. But guess what? He said, he's not the one they picked up anywhere. So when the man came to the farm, he was like, he was in El Dorado. He couldn't get over it. He said, everything on your farm will work and cure people. That someday, this place is going to be a historic place where everybody will just want a piece of it. I'm like, oh, really? Right now, I don't think I have that kind of value in my eye.
Me, I have that value of you, Maya. I have that value. And the thing is, the thing with us Nigerians is most of us don't give feedback. I mean, it's only if, for lack of a better word, a miracle has happened, you know. When people start to get healthier, they don't notice it until maybe 2-3 years down the line. And then maybe they sit down and think, what did I do differently? And they're like, oh, it was because I've been eating from this person. It was because I've been buying produce from this person. But we're not very appreciative until we see something huge.
Well, thank goodness we've had a few, though. There's a lady who tells us, for instance, that the only cucumber she can eat are ours. That if she eats any other cucumber, she becomes bloated up.
Can you imagine that?
And can be like that for days. There was another person who said she had, you know, been trying to continue for quite a while. Then she said, after eating our produce for a fair bit of time, she just realized that her system changed, her
Can you imagine?
What cream are you using?
You know, it's always a cream.
And the next thing she conceived, you know? So she conceived. So we do, I mean, I had a guy who he was frustrated. And he said, if tomato is the only thing that I can get from your farm, it's because my name meal. But he seems to be, like, what are you doing this week? And he got rid of his frustration. So we do get feedback. But if you put this feedback out there, they're going to say you're not a medical doctor. And somebody said they'll just put you down. Why is it that now there is COVID-19 and everybody wants Dongoyaro?
I know, really. Everybody that has been there all these years.
Everybody is looking for Dongoyaro.
Emergency people. We are emergency people. Okay, so my last question for you, Sisimi. Temitopo is asking that this is also in terms of, she's like, is microwaving okay? For foods. You're laughing.
Don't let microwave producers, sellers, and owners come and shoot me. But I will just tell you my own background. I have never owned a microwave. It's just because people don't look for knowledge. There's a fantastic book. I met a man in England. He does, body scanning. So in his clinic, you enter a cabin with fried up underwear, and they will scan your body from head to toe. And your body will come out in different colors. When he did my body scan, the only problem I had was my back. I've always had a bad back, right from when I was a child. So there's a little part there that showed up as red because I have constant pain there. Otherwise, there was nothing. Now, this guy, he put microwave food inside that scanner and he would do natural or organic food. The same. It would be, let's say it's rice and vegetables and whatever, chicken, rice, vegetable and chicken, and put them in. Do you know the one that has been microwaved comes up with nothing? So, he calls it foodless food. That you kill the food the minute you put it in the microwave. I didn't wish I had his name on the top of my head, but I consulted him then because I wanted that body scan. Even at the conference I attended, a cancer conference, that scanner was also available. You pay a fee and you go in for it. And it will tell you the food you have been eating, if they've not been beneficial to your body, there's a color that comes out. And if they've been beneficial to your body, there's another color that comes out. So I hope that answers your question in the best way that I can.
I think it does. So to wrap up, I would say that not only eating organic, I mean, there are other things that are factors that one must take into consideration.
Oh, yeah,
so your rest, your sleep, your state of mind, the way you
and
cook.
The air we breathe. The way we cook. The way our mind works. You can't continue to exhibit anger at every little thing and think you'll be healthy. You can't. You know, many people just, I always say that there's so much aggression in this country. You're in traffic, somebody is hooting right behind you, can't you see the light up? Are you mad? Are you so, you know, all those kind of things. And you just wonder, where is all of those things coming from?
Exactly.
What kind of state of mind, you know?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Sisimi, you're a gem. Thank you so much for giving us this time. We've overshot our time small, but thank you so, so very much. We've been speaking to Miss Olushola Showemimo. So I was telling Temitokwe that you are an etiquette coach and that you're also a member of the faculty of the School of Elocution. And she was like, that's so why are you Miss and not Mrs.? So I now said that you're actually Mrs., but Mrs., I heard from you, means wife of. So when you're addressing yourself, you address yourself as Miss because you're introducing yourself.
Yes. So I'm Mrs. Sheyi Showanimo.
So that would be her husband's name.
But I am Miss Olushola Showanimo.
Are we understanding? We're understanding. Thank you, Sisimi. Thank you so very much.
Change it. When I give it to them, they change it. They correct it and say, oh, the study must have been a mistake.
They didn't understand me. They should have gone to read your bio, then they will understand. Thank you so much, Sisimi.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Looking to catch up on Nigeria news you may have missed during the week? Or you need a refresher? Join the team of Weekend Nigeria, Top Star and Aiyemi Olivia on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Saturday, as we deliver news, reviews, interviews, tidbits, music, and so much more. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians and diaspora up to speed.